Church, how about we pray? So let's just pray together. Gracious, loving God, we just give you thanks that we can hear from your word today. Oh Lord, we ask that you open up your word so it may speak to us fresh and anew. May it give us understanding of who we are and what it means for us to follow you. May it give us understanding of who you call yourself to be. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Now, we're in our fourth week in our message series looking at the seven I am statements found in John's Gospel that Jesus made about himself. Last week, Paul gave us a message of the section just preceding this passage. So it actually kind of all goes together. So I think this is part two of Paul's message. Paul spoke last week that he was talking about that Jesus said, I am the gate. And when he was talking about that, he was giving the illustration that he is the gate, he is the shepherd that sits in the sheepfold that blocks the way for sheep to come out and go in, to block the predators from coming in. It keeps all the sheep safe in there. And then Jesus comes on and then says that I am the shepherd. So you can see that they're very linked together. The two are quite linked. So what I wanted to do is give a little bit of background significance to when Jesus is talking about I am the good shepherd, what that actually means, what that biblical significance of being a shepherd is. Shepherding is used throughout the Bible numerous times, and it's used as a metaphor throughout the Bible and in its entirety, from the Old Testament all the way through. Psalm 95, verses 6 and 7 says this, and we've got it on the screen for you. It says, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people he watches over the flock under his care. Notice that? The flock, the sheep. And if only you would listen to his voice today. What a clear call for hearing and listening to God's voice, of being the one who is the shepherd caring for the sheep that are there. Interestingly, and I'm going to give you two kind of understandings around shepherd in the Old Testament that I want us to share. There's actually a third one, which is with the prophets after the exile as well. But the first one is that God is the divine shepherd. And that's a kind of looking at how God is our divine shepherd. And like a shepherd, God was personally present with his people. So we find that in Exodus, we find that God is personally present with his people. We also see like a shepherd, God protects his people. We see that throughout in Numbers and Deuteronomy. And we also see that God, like a shepherd, provides for his people. He feeds them. And we'll see that in Psalm 78 or Psalm 105. And he also heals them, gives out, you know, Exodus and Numbers all have those kind of references. God shepherds his people through human leaders. He shepherds them through Moses. And I love this, that Moses himself, before he became that leader of the nation, before he goes and speaks to Pharaoh, he actually flees and is in exile himself, and he defends some women from bad shepherds, and then he becomes a shepherd himself for that family. And then God calls him to be a leader and to shepherd the people, not just the sheep. And Moses himself later on in Numbers 27 actually asks God for a successor so that the congregation of the Lord, that's all of the people of the Lord, may not be as sheep that have no shepherd. So he's going, there's this illustration that God is the shepherd, the divine shepherd, and works through human leaders to shepherd God's people. So that's part of that illustration of when Jesus is saying that I am the good shepherd. Those who are listening have this history and understanding so that they're hearing this, and they're hearing that Jesus is actually saying, I'm the good shepherd. They're starting to hear this divine understanding of God being present in there. The second one I wanted us to explore was that David was the shepherd king. And quite deep and powerful when we think about this, that David was taken, you know, anointed to be the shepherd king from herding sheep. Yet again, he was the one that was the shepherd in real life, and then he became the shepherd of Israel. And you'll find that in 2 Samuel if you want to read into that. But if we go into, Psalm 78, verses 70 to 72, and I'll just read you this, and it says, "He chose his servant David, calling him from the sheep pens. He took David from tending the ewes and lambs and made him the shepherd of Jacob's descendants, God's own people, Israel. He cared for them with a true heart and led them with skillful hands." So throughout the Bible, this idea of the shepherd and shepherding has been the metaphor for not only the religious leaders, but it's been the metaphor for the political leaders. And you kind of understand that, you know, it's that language when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," you're hearing religious leader and political leader. They're hearing that as well. In fact, if you actually go through the Bible, you actually find the term shepherd appearing 114 times. Only 20 of those are actually in reference to the sheep with the wool. So by and large, it is that political and priestly reference to shepherding. So when Jesus is proclaiming that "I am the good shepherd," he's declaring that he is like, but not like, but he is the true good shepherd. He is the true religious leader. He is the true political leader of the day. He cares for his people. And it says that Jesus is the good shepherd. And it says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep." So in verse 10, verse 11, you know, the clear thing. Now, when we hear this, I want you to zone in on a particular point. When we're hearing this statement, if Jesus is the good shepherd, what does that make us? It makes us the sheep, doesn't it? So if Jesus is the good shepherd, then we are the sheep. This has profound implications for who we are and what it means for us. Glenda in the kids' talk actually asked today, "Does anybody think that they're a sheep?" You know, how many people have got that Colin Buchanan song stuck in their head now? You know, I'm preaching away and everybody's going, "Ba, ba, do, ba, ba." Now, I put it back in there for you, haven't I? But here it is. I want to ask you a couple of questions. If we are the sheep, have we wandered away from the care and guidance of Jesus in our lives? These are profound questions. And if you're wandering all by yourself away, or maybe you're with other sheep that don't know Jesus, or maybe you are living your life with Jesus' protection and guidance. So if we're the sheep, are we in the fold? Are we in the sheep fold? Are we within God's protection and care? Is Jesus, you know, our good shepherd? Or have we wandered off to be by ourselves? So while we're focusing on these profound implications for us, what I would like to think about it, what it means for Jesus to lay down his life for his sheep, is that, you know, it specifically says that "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd sacrifices or lays down his life for the sheep." Jesus gives his life for the sheep. So let that sink in for a moment. The good shepherd actually demonstrates sacrificial love. In the Gospel of John that we've been reading, there is no greater love than a man laying down for another. You'll hear that there. The very core of the gospel, the Christian gospel, is Jesus Christ, that is God's love. God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son so that whoever believed in him might live. Jesus not only was a needed sacrifice, but he was also the willing sacrifice. Jesus clearly points this out. in John's gospel well before that time of going to the cross. He points it out that this is why he has come. He is the good shepherd that is laying his life down. Like in the gate at the sheepfold, he is the one that is against all that is there that's coming to attack those that are inside. So he's laying his life down for those that are being protected. Let me put it up on the screen for you so that we've got it in front of us. From John 10, verses 11 to 13. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him, and he instead isn't their shepherd. So they're the hired hand. So the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for money and doesn't really care about the sheep. Now, think about this in the implications that we have here, that Jesus is actually responding to Pharisees and answering this. This whole section is talking to the religious leaders here. And so he's actually being really pointed when he says, I am the good shepherd. And I'm laying my life down, you are only like hired hands. So he's being really pointed to those religious leaders of the day. He's also showing and telling them that he will provide for their daily needs, provide for the people's daily needs. God moves in our lives and in our world and provides for us. God's love is shown through everyday real practical things. Even if we are experiencing incredibly difficult times in our life, God is always there. You know, notice what's the psalm that is often used in funeral services? Psalm 23, and what is that? The Lord is my shepherd, isn't it? So he got this referencing again to God being the shepherd, and he will be with me even if I am walking through the valley of the shadow of death. God is providing and there with you, shepherding and guiding and caring for you, even in the hard moments of our lives. God, the good shepherd, cares for you. God, the good shepherd, protects you. God, the good shepherd, nourishes you. God, the good shepherd, comforts you. And God, the good shepherd, knows his sheep and they know him. Powerful statement there. Let me put it up. From verses 14 to 16, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own sheep, and they know me. Just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. See, Christianity has this unique teaching, which is that God is desiring that personal relationship with you, each and every one of you. God invites us to call him to be Father and wants us to be able to identify us as his sons and daughters. That through God, all of creation is this personal, vital, loving relationship with each and every one of us, It's both incomprehensible, but also humbling to know that. That the creator of the universe wants to have that personal relationship with you and to be known. I love it when I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep. God knows each and every one of you. God knows you. Do you know God? Do you know Jesus Christ in your life? Because my sheep know me. And it's that, you know, and he's putting that in that same connection, that same relationship. Just as my Father knows me and I know the Father. Jesus, the good shepherd, knows the sheep, that's us, just in the same way as Jesus knows his Father and the Father knows me. This is mind-blowing. Our relationship with God is that personal, that deep, that profound. It's vital for us. But And, you know, he's talking about these religious leaders to the day, and just keep that in there. And he's just really hammering home here. This illustration, this stuff is just hitting home to these religious leaders. In fact, if you go into John chapter 9, which precedes all of these two I am statements, he's actually saying to the religious leaders today, the Pharisees, that they are spiritually blind. So you're spiritually blind, and then he moves on to I am the gate and I am the good shepherd. He gives them the illustration that they are just doing it for themselves and for the show. You know how I said that there was that third Old Testament illustration and metaphor about shepherds? We had the illustration of David being the good shepherd, the king shepherd, and following him, following Solomon, and then after that, then we had a whole lot of kings that were not good and led the people astray. They were the shepherds that didn't bring people back to God, that actually drew them away. And it's that illustration that we're having here that Jesus is going, you're not good. You're taking people away. So that's all kind of in there. But what I love about this little passage here, and it gives us that little highlight, that Jesus is saying here to these religious leaders, it's not just about you and this little flock that you are thinking here that you are special, that you've been set aside. It's actually about more than that. Here we have that glimpse into what is the spreading of the gospel to all of the world. You know, I have sheep that are not in this sheepfold. This is a statement about it being bigger and broader than just the Jewish nation. It is bigger and broader than that. God's love is for all of the world. John's gospel I love because it just opens it up. It doesn't narrow it down. It opens it up. That God's love is for all of us, for all of humankind, for you and me, everybody. It's beautifully illustrated when we actually have a look at Luke's gospel and another sheep shepherd illustration. If we jump into Luke 15, verses 3 to 7, we actually have, and you actually have it a little bit further. I'll start from verse 1 just in this reading, but I've got 3 and 7 on the screen. But if you'll actually see that this is the parable of the lost sheep. But, you know, as much as about the lost sheep, it's about the shepherd. It's about sheep that go astray and wander off. Let me read it to you. Notice who Jesus is talking to here. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus to teach. This made who? The Pharisees and teachers of the religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So that's their complaint. How could you associate yourself? You're meant to be there for the special ones. Notice what Jesus said. My sheepfold is bigger than this. I have sheep in other places. He's opening them up, making it bigger. So Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Well, what would you do? If you've got 99 sheep sitting there and you've lost one, wandered astray. Do you leave the sheepfold and go and wander away just to find that lost one? See, by and large, most people wouldn't even worry about that. We'll get some new sheep born again. They'll be born the next season. That one is just like stock loss. It happens. But Jesus goes, no. Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness, notice that, out in the wilderness, to go and search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And then he has found it, he will joyfully carry it on his shoulders. And when he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbours saying, rejoice with me because I've found my lost sheep. In the same way, there is more rejoicing in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. So it's actually going, God is there looking for those who are lost, to be drawn back. If you want to actually ask me after the service to, you know, talk a little bit more about sheep and shepherds and the one that wanders away, shepherds in that day would actually ensure that there is a way that if a sheep strayed, they wouldn't take the other sheep with them. So ask me after the service for that, and I can give you that little bit of illustration, a little tidbit of knowledge if you want to go into that. But what I want to do is I want to circle back. I want to circle back to the point that I was making earlier, that this is such a profound and deep point for us. If Jesus is the good shepherd, then what are we? We're the sheep. And where are we in all of this story? Where are we? Are we in the sheepfold? Are we in God's providence? Are we in God's protection? Do we know Jesus' voice? Do we know who Jesus is for us? Or have we wandered away? Have we gone on our own journey, our own way? Are we following something else that is not drawing us to God? If Jesus is the good shepherd, I want to encourage you to listen to his voice, to let him provide protection for you. Let him be there and care for you, to seek God's voice in your life. Let's just pray together, church. Oh Lord God, we give you thanks that you continue to challenge us and continue to draw us close to you. Lord, today we ask that if we are far away, that if we are not in your sheepfold, we're not part of you, that you would call us to come close to you, to be a part of your world, to be a part of your family, to be drawn personally and close to you. Oh Lord God, we just ask this in your name. Amen.